Emily Kaplan from ESPN joins us to talk a little of hockey. Emily, are you a Rap fan?
Sure. I like everything. Why not? Probably not a good answer.
No, you don't have to be one. That's all good. Do you bust a move? Like, do you get on the dance floor?
Okay, so I thought you said rap, and I wasn't 100% sure, so I was going to play it safe. Yes, I do like rap music.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I was just trying to be polite. I'm on Canadian radio. I've got to be polite.
Oh, no. You got to be honest on our show. Let's say, you know what? If people can't handle it, oh, well. Well, hey, let's be honest. The NHL playoffs, so the fourth most points team is out, the fifth most points team is out, the sixth most points team is out, and the team with the second most points has suddenly surrendered a 3-1 series lead and they got a little bit of COVID in Reeves. The Vegas Golden Knights suddenly, Max Pacioretty's out, McNabb is out. All of a sudden, Minnesota could pull off a pretty big upset here tomorrow night.
They really could. And, you know, there's something about Vegas. They just struggle with closing out series. They're 2-8 in their last 10 closeout games. And I don't know if it's their psyche, if it's a new franchise, what it is. But, you know, this is the first year they do have a captain. And Mark Stone is a guy that I'm really looking to in their Game 7. It was really interesting. I was going through his stats of his playoffs so far with the Vegas, and obviously hasn't been there long. But his Game 1 through 4 stats are 1.2 points per game. And games 4 for 7 is just 0.5 points per game. So obviously he kind of tails off at the end of the series, and it shouldn't all fall on one guy, but he's the guy I'd be looking to rally the troops.
What about you swing over to Carolina and Nashville? I mean, Nashville's been, you know, I think a real surprise in the playoffs, but what do you see them doing this, giving Carolina a bit of a rough ride?
I think they're like smacking catfish on the ice and having Nashville NFL teams chug beers, and that's really riling them up. That's definitely helping. And I think that's the one series, especially here in the U.S. I know you guys don't have any fans, but that has the most home ice advantage. And it really is coming true. I mean, they're playing way better at home. I honestly think Juuse Saro, so I know it's such an easy cop-out just to say the goalie, but he's been unbelievable. Like, you really see why they cherished him for so many years and kept him around behind Pekka Rinne so that he could thrive in this moment. And, you know, I do think that David Poile had, like, promised this youth movement before the year, and it never really came. But now as I watch them, there's a lot of young guys that are stepping up, and I think that's a really positive step for that franchise.
Yeah, like a lot of young players that people didn't really know much about, and they've needed it because they're veteran guys with big tickets up front. I know, well, Matt Duchene did score a big goal in the playoffs, but, you know, like, those guys didn't come close to living up to their contracts in the regular season, and I'm kind of curious what they do moving forward. Toronto has a chance to knock off Montreal tonight. That seems like a foregone conclusion, and we already know one matchup in the second round. We know for sure the Islanders are taking on Boston. It's actually starting on Saturday. Both teams, you know, the Islanders added Paul Marion's Ajak, and while Paul Marion didn't do much in the regular season, he's showed up in the playoffs. And Taylor Hall, since he got there, it's not only him that's played well, it's really ignited David Krejci, and Boston looks really good. Who do you like in that series?
Yeah, that's a tough one because I'm kind of a stand for the Islanders in the playoffs. Like, they're the team that everyone loves to write out off, and then they just win, and they win, and they do it in the least exciting way possible, but all of a sudden they're, like, in the Eastern Conference Final. But, you know, looking at this matchup, I just think that Boston has way higher-end talent. You know, maybe the one advantage that the Islanders could have in a series would be in goal because Ilya Sorokin's been amazing. But I do think that the Bruins can counter that with Tuukka Rask, who's also been amazing and has 98 games of playoff experience. But, yeah, you mentioned Taylor Hall and David Krejci. And I actually talked to Taylor yesterday. I did a story on ESPN.com. And he said before he got to the Bruins, all everybody told him was when Krejci finds line mates that he likes, you're good, and he's going to play better, and you're going to play better. And that's exactly what it seems, that those two have really developed chemistry a lot with Craig Smith.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You talk about the Islanders and how, you know, it seems like we always underestimate these guys and how they're going to score, how they're going to score. Then, you know, you look at, you know, some of the goals they scored against Pittsburgh, and you could blame it on, you know, I guess Jari on some of them, specifically like that what was it, the Nelson goal. But will they be able to manufacture more goals or goals easier that aren't given up like they were by the goalie Jari in Pittsburgh against the Bruins?
Man, poor Tristan Jari. He's going to have such a rough summer. We're going to be talking about those gloves-tied goals for, like, months. But, yeah, you know, scoring is always a concern for the Islanders, you know. They like to win games 2-1. That's what their system kind of dictates. But when you play team like the Bruins are going to need to score more than two goals on most nights to win that game. I do think that they have guys, though, that can score. I really do. I think that underrated, they've added guys, especially over the last 2 years, who can get pucks in net. And speaking of underrated, I actually think Brock Nelson is one of the more underrated players in the league. He just seems to score big goal after big goal for them. Really good on that second line with Josh Bailey and Anthony Beauvillier. So I think like a couple guys can sneak up on you, but you know it's not really in their DNA. And they, like I said before, they don't have the high end talent that the Bruins have. Like they have Matt Barzal, but he really hasn't flourished yet.
Emily Kaplan joins us from ESPN, and the other thing is like Pittsburgh and Tristan Jarry, former Edmonton Oil King, had a really good season and you know had some struggles in that series. Whereas Tuukka Rask was lights out, and I'm not sure if the Islanders are going to get as many kind of easy goals in the next round. But Barry Trotz, I saw a stat today that kind of surprised me. He won a series 7 consecutive years. That's the first time since Al Arbor from 78 to 85 where a coach won at least one series 7 years in a row. And when you see that Washington hasn't won a series since he left, like Barry Trotz is pretty important to whichever team he's coaching, it looks like.
Yeah, I saw that stat too, and I was just floored, especially knowing that it spans three franchises, right? Like, that involves Nashville, the Caps, and here in the Islanders, or I think it was like he had won a consecutive 15th first round. Whatever it was very impressive. But yeah, you know, when you look at the Caps and you look at the fact that they haven't been able to get over that hump since they won the Stanley Cup, you wonder if that ego fight, which really is what it was a contract thing, was stupid. They shouldn't have done it because, you know, they kind of made a mistake of going to Todd Reirden. He wasn't the right guy at the moment. And then they had to spend big money to get Peter Laviolette, hoping he would be the guy when you already had the guy right under them. So I do believe in Laviolette. I like him a lot as a coach. I think it was a transition period for them this year, and they had a lot of off-ice distractions, whether it was COVID or suspensions or Tom Wilson or whatever it may be. But it's not looking great for them, and it's looking great for anyone who's hiring Barry Trotz these days.
Joined by Emily Kaplan, joined by Emily Kaplan, talking all things NHL related. She's from ESPN. Emily, the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, they've had an amazing run. Not a lot of success the last number of playoffs. They tried to bolster lineup with Jeff Carter. You know, is this a significant time of reflection for new general manager Ronnie Francis?
No, their GM is Ron Hextall.
Oh, Ron Hextall. I meant to say Ron Hextall. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
No,
so I'm trying to trick you to make sure you're paying attention.
Yeah, I am. Rap music. We got this. But no, I do think it's an interesting time for these two guys that came in, Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, because one thing is they're not really beholden to anyone there. I think Sidney Crosby, they understand what he means to the franchise in the same way the Washington Capitals understand what Alex Ovechkin means to them. Like, he's just as important on the ice as off the ice. You have to keep him around. But other than that, like, they don't have emotional ties to these guys. So maybe this is a season where you do have bold moves. I do think, though, like, knowing Ron Hextall and his history with Philadelphia, like, he's a builder. And one of the biggest issues for Pittsburgh right now is they've only drafted in the first round once in the last 6 years. Like, you can't do that and expect to start restocking your pipeline and stay competitive. So I think they're going to have a really tricky balance this summer saying, okay, so because he's not getting any younger, we really need a win with him. At the same time, we can't be left totally bare when he's gone.
Emily, from a distance, what do you think of, like, the Oilers offseason? I look this is like the most important offseason they've had in a long time, because they finally have a team that, you know, that's got enough pieces that they should be a competitive team for the next few years. Now, how competitive, I think, remains on their GM. They got to get some scoring depth. You know, what are they going to do in goal? You know, how do they replace Tyson Barrie? I don't think it's as easy as some here think. What do you make of the Edmonton Oilers and this potential offseason maybe being the biggest one in Ken Holland's tenure?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I come from an outside perspective, right? I'm not in the market like you guys are. But from what I see, all we think about when the Oilers collapsed this year was that quote from Ken Holland in the season, beginning of the season, that said, we can't go all in every year. And then you think, well, that's really silly. You have Connor McDavid. You should be going all in every year, and you see what happened this year. But the truth is, I think that Ken Holland didn't really inherit the best situation roster-wise, but also cap space-wise. And yeah, this summer, it seems like a lot of cap space is clearing up. So I would hope that they're very active. And I say I would hope because I hope for the best for Connor McDavid. I don't want to waste his best years. And I think depth scoring needs to be number one. It sounds like they want to bring Mike Smith back. I have no problem with that. as long as he's got decent guy alongside with him. And probably, like you said, someone really good on D. And the problem is that's not very easy to get. You can't just all of a sudden get a number one or you really even a top pairing blue liner on the market for anything lower than, I don't know, $8 million.
Yeah, it's a tough. I mean, they do have Darnell Nurse, right? And I wonder if that's a huge priority, try to get him to extend prior to or when that window opens shortly.
It would be for me, 100%. You know, I look at it on every good team. There's a really good minutes-eating defenseman. Like, the Bruins have so many other questions on their blue line, but because Charlie McAvoy can do it all and play it all and play those big minutes, right, he's got one guy, you know, maybe he can make up for some holes he's got lower in the depth chart.
Yeah, those big minute eaters are on every team. It's pretty much a guarantee if you look at every cup winning team from Chara to Duncan Keith. And, you know, you had Letang. I know they had the 1 year without Letang, but that was their second year and all the guys had won the year before. But then even Ron Hainsey kind of came out of nowhere and played 24 minutes a night, which was kind of crazy in itself. So that leaves me now. There's, you know, we know some teams are in for sure. You know, Toronto looks like they're probably going to make it there. I think all of us agree Carolina. The Vegas, Minnesota's the only one that's a little bit up in the air. So of those teams that are remaining, like, is Colorado your clear favorite, Emily, or is there someone you like as much or close to them?
You know, I think before the playoffs started, I was having a really hard time saying, like, is it Colorado? Is it Vegas? But looking at the way that Vegas is stumbling through this first-round series, I do think that Colorado is the team to beat. The Bruins might be right under them because they've looked very, very good and, you know, pretty much just decimating the Caps. But they have a much harder series right now against the Islanders, so we'll see who emerges from that.
Emily, it's always good to catch up with you. We appreciate your time. I really enjoyed your article on Taylor Hall. I want to ask you quickly about that before we let you go. Just, you know, I've always found Hall was pretty honest assessment about where he was at different times. You know, I like he goes, I didn't really learn much in Arizona. It was a short time. It was, you know, it was the bubble and everything, because it's true, right? You're kind of there for a short time, and we've seen, you know, kind of what's happened in that organization. But it's like he was close to signing in Boston last summer. It didn't happen. I'd be stunned if he's not re-signing in Boston. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like the perfect fit. When I talked to him yesterday, he sounded so happy and like a burden was lifted off his shoulder. And maybe I'm just like reading a little bit too much into it, but like, how many times does this kid have to say, this is the team I want to play for? And how many times does he have to prove it? Because he's proven it ever since he got there. And it does sound like Bruins management's interested as well. One of the really interesting things I thought he told me, he's like, I don't even know what my worth is right now. Like, I obviously want to stay long term, but like, I don't even know what I'm worth considering, you know, kind of the baggage that he comes with, you know, and being a journeyman that was a number one overall pick. So again, he sounds super happy. I hope it works out for him, but he's been fantastic there.
Yeah, he's been he's really good. Him and Krejci have just fit together like peas and carrots so far. Emily, always great to talk to you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
Sounds great. You too, guys.